Please open your Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to direct your attention to verse 7. This is how the Word of God does read. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that he might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather boast of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. This morning, I'm going to use these few verses to teach on the topic, the blessing of unanswered prayers. Let us go before our great God in prayer. Our Father, this morning, we are grateful for the mercy that was so richly bestowed upon us, that thou hast brought us together here to look into thy word and to understand thy will. Father, may thou now grant wisdom to this man as he makes known the oracles of God to thy people. Bless both the declaration as well as the hearing of thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have you prayed about it? Was my question to an old friend. But to my surprise, he responded, Pastor, to tell you the truth, I have not been praying. Since God has not answered some of my prayers, I just figured what's the use, so I stopped praying. You know, as strange as that response does sound, it is a common lamentation among many of us as Christians in our struggle to understand how God responds to our prayers. You know, following the death of his wife, the late C.S. Lewis, the Christian apologist, in his book, A Grief Observed, expressed a similar lamentation in his struggle to understand how God does respond to prayer. And he wrote, when you are happy, so happy that you have no need of him, so happy that you're tempted to feel his claims upon you as an intrusion, if you remember and turn to him with gratitude and praise, you will be, or so it feels, welcome with open arms. But go to him when your need is desperate, when all other help is vain. And what do you find? A door slammed in your face, a sound of bolting, double bolting on the inside. After that, silence. Even David, the man after God's own heart, in a psalm that foreshadowed the suffering of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 22, David expressed a similar lamentation when he sought to understand God's response to prayer. And he wrote, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groanings. O my God, I cry by day and thou dost not answer, and by night I have no rest. Now, by no means is the struggles of this man indicative of their spiritual weakness. On the contrary, at the crux of their struggle, which is often the crux of our own struggle, is an attempt to reconcile the promises of God outlined in the Bible and how God does respond to prayer. Let's look at some of the promises that we find in the scriptures. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 7, our Lord Jesus will say to us, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Then we look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 20, chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted to him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted to you. These are the words of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Now, you go ahead now and pray. You ask God for favor for jobs, to secure a job. And you go to the job interview, and then you're rejected. Or you pray for God to heal a loved one who was sick in the hospital. And instead of life, the person dies. This is where we struggle to understand how God responds to our prayers. Now, while in the midst of our seeking to understand how God responds to our prayer, the focus is usually on why God is not answering our prayers. I believe we rarely don't consider the flip side, which is the blessings of unanswered prayer. As foreign as this may sound, when it comes to prayer, there is blessing on both ends of the spectrum for Christians. I believe you're blessed when your prayers are answered, and as well, you are blessed when your prayers go unanswered. Though what is often obvious is the blessing that comes from answered prayers, but when we look deeply into the pages of Scripture, it becomes apparent that even when God does not answer our prayers, there is still a blessing embedded in it. I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying this morning, loved ones, that even when God does not answer prayer, there is still a blessing embedded in that prayer that is answered. So this morning, I want to take a route that is less traveled. I want to use a few persons in the Scripture as a case study to harvest some of what I call the blessings of unanswered prayers. Now, the first person we want to use is actually our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Now, when you turn to the Gospels, all the Gospel writers recorded one experience in the life of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, when you come to the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew now reads that when the night was there, the night before the Lord Jesus would be betrayed, he arrived at Gethsemane with his disciples, excluding Judas. And he told his disciples to sit while he goes to pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, John and James. And he said to them, he said, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. Matthew 26:38. And we're told that he went a little beyond them and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not as I will, but as thou will. Now, the Gospel of Luke even paints a more intense picture of our Savior here. He said, being in agony, he was praying so intensely that his sweat became like drops of blood falling down on the ground. And three times the Lord Jesus, with great intensity, asked his Father, he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now, what exactly was the Lord Jesus requesting in this prayer? The Lord Jesus was requesting that the suffering and the anguish of the cross pass from him. In essence, the Lord Jesus is saying the cup of wrath that contains the sin of humanity that the Lord Jesus has to bear on the cross. The Lord just said, let it pass over me. And though the Father loved the Son greatly, though the Father always answered the Son, but this time the Father would not answer his Son. the Father would not let the cup pass over. And the reason is obvious. The suffering and the death of the Lord Jesus was necessary for a greater purpose, for the fulfillment of God's redemption plan for humanity. I want you to pay attention to this. Without the suffering and anguish of the Lord Jesus, there definitely ain't going to be no cross. Without a cross, there's going to be no atonement. Without no atonement, there's going to be no salvation. Without no salvation, there's going to be no church. Without no church, each one of us are lost in our sin and our trespasses. So you can see the blessings of unanswered prayer. You can see here that the Father said no to the Son because there's a greater purpose in what the Son was about to do. And Lord, I would like to suggest to you this morning that the same is true for you. At times, God will choose not to answer prayer because He has much greater purpose in store for us than what we are asking Him for. You know, take for example, you're about to be laid off at your job and you said, Lord, help me. I need to keep this job. But the Lord says no. But the purpose of saying no might be because the Lord has a greater and more greater blessing for you on the horizon. Or assuming that you're looking for a job and the Lord actually wants to make you a business owner. Or take the example of Dave Ramsey, the Christian financial expert who in his own time experienced a great financial crisis in his life. I believe he prayed for God at that time to show him favor from that financial difficulty. But he went down, and from being down, he was able to be used by God. And today he is blessing so many people on a greater level. What I'm trying to say to you this morning, loved ones, is simple. At times, our prayers go unanswered because God has a greater purpose for what you're requesting. Always look for the blessing in your unanswered prayers. God at times wants to use you for a greater purpose, and he doesn't answer that specific request because he has something bigger in store for you. The second case study this morning I want us to look at is the Apostle Paul. We can find this experience of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul will narrate to us an experience that he had. Begin at verse 2. He said, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know. Out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a man was caught up to the third heaven. I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know. God knows. Was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man was not permitted. Then when we go to verse 7. He said, and because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that he might depart from me. Now, I want you to stop right there for me, loved ones. I want you to see what the Apostle Paul is saying here. God revealed great revelation to this man. And we're told, they said, the Lord gave me a messenger of Satan to buffet me, a thorn in my flesh. Then he said, concerning this, I prayed, just like our Savior. He said, I prayed three times that this might depart from me. And guess what the Lord said? No. His prayers went unanswered. The Lord chose not to answer the request of Paul for two reasons. First of all, let me let you see this. First, it was to keep Paul from spiritual damage. What do I mean by that? Through pride. Go back to that text. Paul said the messenger of Satan was to keep me from exalting myself. God, who knew Paul more than he knew himself, God, who knows everything actual and potential, knew what Paul could do. He knew that if Paul was if the thorn was missing in his body, if that thorn was not in his flesh, Paul, there was a temptation that Paul will exalt himself. And you know what that means, pride. The Bible said God is opposed to the proud and he gives grace to the humble. God had to use Paul in a mighty way and he wanted to keep him humble. As such, he did not answer the prayer to remove the thorn from his flesh, but he left it there. That's the first reason. And loved ones, I tended to you this morning. At times, the Lord will leave the thorn in your flesh. Because I believe some of the thorn that we might have in our flesh might be by design. Because God wants to keep us where we are. God wants to keep us humble. You don't know, and I don't know myself as we think we do. God knows us better. And the thorn in your flesh might be that constant sickness that you're facing that will cause you constantly to go before your knee. Or the thorn in your flesh might be that child that is rebellious that you kept praying and praying and praying. And God is using that to keep you and to humble you so you can depend and trust them. Listen to me, loved ones. At times, the Lord will allow the thorn in our flesh to keep us from spiritual destruction because we can self-destruct ourselves in our pride. And this, I believe, was the reason for the unanswered prayer of Paul. And this truly is a blessing. Because if you really look at your unanswered prayer and even look at a thorn in your flesh, sometimes those things draw you closer to God. It builds up your spiritual pedigree, your spiritual stamina, because you're closer to God in your weakness. The second reason I believe the Lord refused to honor the prayer of Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is this. Because he wanted to display the excellency of his glory through Paul's weakness. Again, I want you to watch what I say. He wanted to display the excellency of his glory through Paul's weakness. Because when you go to verse 9, after Paul had entreated the Lord three times to remove the thorn from his flesh, the Lord will now say to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." God wanted to reveal the excellency of his glory in the weakness of the Apostle Paul. And I tender to you this morning, one of the blessings at times of unanswered prayer is because God might want to display the excellency of his glory in your weakness. That God might want to use you as a testimony. God might want to use your life as a testimony. That many will look at your inadequacies. Many will see your inadequacy, your weakness. Then they will see something that God is doing in you. So that they will be able to know at that point that it's not because of your own might. It's not because of your own strength. But it's because of the power of God. That they will be able to look at your life and know that, listen, this person is doing this because God is with this person. God has anointed this person. Because through your weakness, God now shows the excellency of his glory. And then you can pray, "Lord, save me from all this." And the Lord said, "No, because I want your weakness to be a testimony of my glory." Loved ones, this morning, I tender to you this morning. Look for God in your unanswered prayers, because there is always a blessing in our unanswered prayers. The third person this morning we want to look at, which I believe is life speaks also of the blessing of unanswered prayer, is the life of Joseph. Now, what we see from the life of Joseph is that while this might not be, cannot be deduced directly, it can be deduced indirectly. Now, when you go to Genesis chapter 37, we begin to see the life of Joseph. Joseph, at the age of 17, the Bible says, was the favorite of his father. Gave him a coat of varied colors. And we're told that he was a dreamer of dreams. And because of that, his brothers envied him greatly. And it came a day that he went to look for his brothers. They saw him on the horizon. They took him, stripped him of his coat, cast him into a pit. Then when the Ishmaelites were coming, they sold him into slavery. And when they sold Joseph into slavery, we're told that Joseph now was taken to Egypt. In Egypt, Joseph was now sold in the slave market to Potiphar. Now, when he got into Potiphar's house, the Lord was with him. He was successful. But Miss Potiphar, filled and consumed with her lust, wanted to seduce Joseph. And Joseph said no. And she now framed him and accused him of attempted rape. This led Joseph to be cast into the king's prison. While in the king's prison, also the Lord was with him. And we read that the warden actually elevated him. But in the prison, two persons one day was put in that same prison. The chief baker and the chief cupbearer of Pharaoh. Now, this is where the story gets interesting, because they dreamt dreams on the same night, different dreams, but they all dreamt the same night. And when Joseph passed by their cell, we're told that both of them kind of look melancholy. They look sad. And Joseph now said to them, he said, listen, what is wrong? And they said, we have a dream. We both had a dream. We don't know what to interpret it. And Joseph said, go ahead, tell me what your dreams are. And we're told here that they told Joseph their dream. The first interpretation Joseph gave to the baker was this. He said, in 3 days, you're going to be hanged. In 3 days, you are going to face execution. That was the first interpretation he gave to the baker. To the cupbearer, on the other hand, Joseph told the cupbearer, he said, in 3 days, Pharaoh is going to restore you back to your position. Then watch what Joseph will say in Genesis chapter 40, beginning at verse 14. He said to the cupbearer, after he gave him this positive news or positive interpretation to his dream, he said, only keep me in mind when it goes well with you. And please do me kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For I was in fact kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews. Even here, I have done nothing that they should have put me into this dungeon. Now, while this was not directly a prayer to God, but a request to another man, I believe this was actually Joseph's unspoken prayer. I want you to pay attention to me this morning, that I believe this was actually Joseph's unspoken prayer. That what Joseph actually asked this man was what he prayed on his own personal time, asking God for mercy to deliver me from the prison. And I truly believe that while the Bible does not tell us specifically how he prayed in his prayer life, I believe this was an example of his innermost desire, which must have been his prayer desire towards God. Then we fast forward to verse 23 of chapter 40. We're told that yet the cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. I'd like to suggest to you this morning that the reason the cupbearer forgot Joseph was not because he had amnesia. The reason the cupbearer forgot Joseph actually was because God said the time was not right. Watch what I just said. God said the time was not right. Joseph's prayer here will be unanswered. Joseph's prayer here will be unanswered. Why? Because God said, Joseph, it is not time. If the cupbearer had left that prison and had gone to Pharaoh to appeal on behalf of Joseph, yes, the Pharaoh could have released Joseph and Joseph could have left Egypt and returned to Canaan. But you're going to remember that there is still meant to be a famine upon the land. And God was in essence saying that, Joseph, listen, I got a greater work for you. I got something for you, but your time is not right. So guess what? You have to be here till that time is right. 2 years later, Pharaoh then dreamt, and nobody could interpret the dream. Then the cupbearer remembered Joseph. And how many of you know that, well, that wasn't because it's because God said that is the time. He remembered Joseph, and he called Joseph. And when he called Joseph, Pharaoh called Joseph, and Joseph interpreted the dream. And when Joseph interpreted the dream to Pharaoh, Joseph was elevated from a prisoner to a prince. And we see from the story of Joseph that the unanswered prayer of Joseph, even in that prison, his desire, his request was unanswered because it wasn't time. And loved ones, I tender to you this morning. At times, God will say to you and I, when we request or pray, that listen, it's not your time. You ain't ready for this level yet. You ain't ready yet. When that time comes, I will open doors. When that time comes, I will move in supernatural ways. When that time comes, I will show you favor. I believe the story of Joseph this morning is my story, is your story, that at times we pray and God said, no, I'm not answering this prayer because this is not a time for it. You know, at times we have vision, but it might be the right vision, but the wrong time. And at times God has to tell us, listen, I see that vision. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be great. I'm going to walk through that vision, but this is not your time. I need to prepare you for this level. And loved ones, what I'm trying to get to this morning is simple. I want you to look for God in your unanswered prayers. Whatever this morning, you must say, listen, I've been seeking God for this and I don't have not received any answer from God. Look for the blessing even in those unanswered prayers. Because I believe God is moving even in unanswered prayers. What does this mean to me, everybody? God, even in unanswered prayer, is blessing us. This morning, the prayer that are unanswered are actually a blessing in disguise. Our Father and our God, into thy holy hands, and I commit this time of teaching, be thou glorified, our Father. It's in Jesus' name I pray, and thanksgiving I give.